Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Influence with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Influence. I'm Michelle Martin. Welcome. Today I speak with a man who co-founded a Singapore-based startup that is reportedly going to see one of the biggest exits by a Singapore tech startup in recent history. A group of investors will be buying an 80% stake in the Singapore short video editing app Lomotive for a reported sum of $125 million. In case you haven't heard of this app, it's a social media platform popular with teenagers. It's garnered some over 120 million, I understand, total lifetime creators and some 300 plus million video views on its platform every month. Paul Young is co-founder of Lomotive. He joins me live right here on Influence. How is Friday morning looking for you, Paul?
It's getting very, very, very well, and I'm assuming it's going to get better with this call.
Great to hear. Paul, you studied communications and new media at NUS. You studied game design at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Take us back to 2014. How did you start to think, yes, these short videos are going to be popular in future?
So I started a little bit before that. So I studied film and I studied engineering even before NUS. And actually, that's where my roots began. I think the late Steve Jobs said it very well. You know, the dots connect when we look back. And that's how, you know, it's led to creating Lomotive. Mm-hmm. Even after studying game design, studying communications, what really drove this was, after school, I was a professional cinematographer. Mm-hmm. And that's when, like, my passion is telling stories via video. So I found that there was no quick way for users to, or at least creators or storytellers, to be able to communicate or express themselves with this video medium. That's where I set out to sort of pivot my life into, you know, helping creators such as myself to create stories really quickly, because that's how we see the current currency of expression. Gen Zs want to consume quickly. They want to consume a large variety, a breadth of content. And I think that's where this intersection lies. That's where we see, and perhaps you'll discuss it a bit later, that's how we see short videos becoming a very dominant or prevalent format of expression and consumption.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I mean, anybody who's touched video understands that a major pain point is the editing of mm-hmm. any sort of video. But help us understand, you know, how you're able to spot a future trend that even platforms like TikTok would bank on, and that is short videos. I understand you had a hunch that unrehearsed performances were going to be worth a bet on as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, so it's evolution. So at the start, as I mentioned, our hunch was that if we make creation so easy and so quick, it sort of democratizes creation through this medium, because video is a format that requires some skill sets. So very early on, I took some of the learnings, you know, from academically and also my experience as a filmmaker, mm-hmm. and we developed this algorithm that allows users to create seconds of content in seconds. So it's really the quickest way for users to create content in a short video format without having to learn any editing skills. So, and the evolution from there, you can see it's a step-by-step process, because it started to democratize creation. The average Joe, so to speak, could create. And they weren't performing in these creations, as you see in some of the other, you know, networks. They started just putting what was already in a camera roll. They started putting all these moments that weren't unrehearsed. They didn't have to practice a dance move to perfection before they posted it on Lomotive. Mm. So that's really, you know, we were inspired by our own community. And we realized ultimately that that's really sort of this balancing force. It's not that you shouldn't perform. You know, we go to the movies, right? We all go after a great entertaining night at the movies. But we also have these home videos that we huddle up, you know, in more intimate setting. And we want to see these goofball moments. You want to see these, you know, fun internet, you know, in moments that make us, essentially, we want to help users put a caps lock on the mundane moments.
A cap lock on the mundane moments.
Yeah.
As in, you want to help users sort of capture it. But how do you know in 2014, this is what a lot of attention is going to? I mean, were you already getting a sense of it, as you say, from people around you? You were a musician prior to becoming an entrepreneur. I understand you worked in government as well. So was this the sort of a feel you were getting from the kind of content people around you were creating?
Yeah, so when we launched our products, we did it with no money for user acquisition. So what this meant was that, you know, users had to find us, and we were able to observe a very natural, adoption and content creation. So that learning came from myself, like watching the content that was created by our users. And also it resonated with myself because when I look at the social networks that I personally use, I tend to post highlights of my not just a day, maybe highlights of my week. And that gave a sense of reality that was slightly distorted because, you know, we don't live in a world of highlights. We live, you know, as a journey to those highlights. And when I observed the content that was created, it started to become very apparent to me even back then in 2015 that was, you know, users like myself, we needed a platform that helped us to celebrate boring life, right? That's what I mean by putting a caps lock on mundane. It's like putting a capital letters on what are regular moments,
right,
so that we don't have to feel the need to perform all the time.
Okay, so I checked LeMotiv out, and it's your tagline seems to be turn your favorite moments into a music video. So that's a nice analogy. It's sort of people putting themselves in their own music videos, short ones, so to speak. Is that right?
That's right.
So you've also been a musician, and I understand Alicia Keys promoted her song Show Me Love on your platform, LeMotiv,
right,
which, by the way, listeners, you can download on pretty much every app, the iOS App Store, Google Play Store, Huawei App Gallery as well. So when Alicia Keys puts a song on the platform, what are you thinking? Did you start it with musicians in mind?
No, definitely not. The way we saw it, or the way I see it, is music is like the filter for videos. You know, if you look at Instagram in the early days, the focus was a lot of putting filters on photos. And when you look at that, when you take two different filters, and you put it on a same photo, the photo starts to feel very different. But in the world of video, it's almost the direct opposite. If you take two different videos and you put a monochrome, you turn it to black and white, straight away these two different videos start to feel the same. But if you take the same video and you put different music on it, suddenly the same piece of video feels very different. So that's how it got started. That's how music and video was very intertwined from the start. And you know, Alicia Keys, she approached our team because she knew that we had a big following in South America, namely Brazil, and she wanted to also start reaching out to the audience in that part of the continent.
Fascinating. We're speaking in Influence today with Paul Young. He's co-founder of a social media platform called LeMotiv. It's garnered millions in terms of lifetime creators and over 300 million views on the platform per month. So you talked about AI. This is really fascinating because you talk so creatively about, you know, video shooting it, the filter of music, and then AI coming into the mix as well to allow people to edit their short videos quickly. How did you as an entrepreneur envision LeMotiv being different from what the market already had on board at the time?
So when we first, entered the market, there was pre-TikTok. Back then it was Musical.ly. So Musical.ly they were going down the line of lip syncing. And for us, you know, we wanted to help creators in that world to create more quickly. And we covered that. So that was the initial differentiation. Mm-hmm. And moving forward, like our mission is always to empower these creators, you know, more and more. And the analogy there is that we want to give all creators an Iron Man suit. So as, you know, as we watch Tony Stark, like his suits always evolve, you know, they always get, better, more elegant. And the same way, that's our same approach to creators. Mm. And that's how we adopt, you know, tools like AI. AI is basically a tool, and it doesn't always have to be just be AI, but we see it's a combination of AI and creating a very elegant network effect. So on our platform, you know, I don't think this there's enough time to go to details, but on a high level, as more users, you know, create on Lomotif, there's a network effect in that our Iron Man suit gets more powerful for other creators because they are feeding in clips that other creators can also use. And we are building this taxonomy around video clips. So, for example, if you search for running on Lomotif, because you might not have running as a clip on your camera roll, but now running will have its own clip. And this clip is contributed by other creators that tagged their clip running and all that. So we're creating this whole network of creators creating together. And that's how we start differentiating ourselves from the rest of the herd.
So exciting. Are you doing anything in the live streaming area at all? Because we're seeing that take off.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. So that's actually part of this, you know, the deal with that we are working out, that we have with Zash as part of the M&A. So our first project together, even as the ink was drying on our deal, we actually hosted the world's largest live stream concert. We streamed for a good 72 hours nonstop.
Wow.
With artists, 140 artists, including John Mayer, Wiz Khalifa, and all that. So that was live stream, and we saw great success there. We had over 37 million views, you know, on that concert alone. And this has sparked, you know, upcoming partnerships that we will soon announce. And that's how we adopt live stream into our offerings as a product.
Speaking of merger and acquisition, and you mentioned the ink drying. So can we assume for the listeners that $125 million exit deal for Lomotif with a group of investors is confirmed?
The ink is dry. It's confirmed. And, you know, we should be announcing the final closure very soon, within a matter of weeks.
Congratulations. How will the Lomotif model work after the exit deal? And will you keep a 20% stake in it?
Yes, we'll keep a 20% stake. I'll be staying on as a CEO of the company, and we'll be going full force with our current mission, you know, and Zash is very aligned with this mission. In fact, they have been seeing it this way and from their lens all this while. And, you know, first, the partnerships already started. We, like I mentioned, the live stream concert was done together with them as partners. And we are launching together this next event called You've Been Scouted. And that's very aligned with looking at creators from our ecosystem that aren't already huge influencers, you know, creators that are singing, are talented. We're going to be scouting all of them and going to be giving them, you know, recording contracts and also we're going to be announcing this officially in the coming weeks.
Hey, thanks for giving us a scoop on that.
Yes, this is the first time we're announcing that actually.
So in terms of your expansion...
On Money FM.
Oh yeah, we like scoops. Thanks, Paul. What are your expansion plans as you look ahead and can we expect sort of employment for Singapore to benefit as well? Any jobs you're planning here?
Oh, very much so. In fact, I'll put an exclamation mark on that. Our whole team actually predominantly in Singapore, especially an engineer. So we would love for even more Singaporeans or talent based in Singapore to join the team. We're going to double down, you know, on Singapore talent. And so in terms of the workforce, we're going to hire a lot more aggressively in Singapore. We're also going to start expanding. We already established in South America, like I mentioned, but we're going to expand northwards, North America. We're also launching, and we have launched in India, and we're also going to start in Southeast Asia. So that is the plan. But to emphasize again, this is really a built-in Singapore company. It's going to remain that way. In fact, it's going to be even more prevalent in the months and years to come.
That's great to hear. So when we started, we talked a little bit about the ideation part of things and how you made an early bet on editing videos because you had a sense of how much time people are going to spend on social media. What I find interesting as an entrepreneur in the streaming space, you have some particular views on how we use our time online, right? Is that correct?
That's right. And to answer the question, like, you know, very quickly, we see how our lives has been augmented with, you know, the advent of smartphones and how it's so much more prevalent now. And also, like, you know, as unfortunate as COVID is, it also helped us to expand our, you know, to expand our social touch points, even more so with video. So, you know, all this put together, it really sets the stage of how we can really, you know, take advantage of technology to make the world a bit smaller. You know, in that we can interact with your friends or friends to be from across the globe. And so this results in, you know, they're both, there's always positives and negatives, right? And, you know, our goal is to start bringing more, you know, to bring more and more positives into how technology has intertwined with our lives. And as mentioned earlier, that's why we want to make, to give creators or even, you know, consumers like you and me, a place that we can express ourselves without always needing to perform. That, you know, boring is cool. It's all right. You know, it doesn't make us less special or even more special. It's not about that. It's basically about empathy that, hey, you know, normal is the way it is. And why is it so important? Because increasingly, you know, this mobile device or whatever might be the format in the future, it's really our window into what's real. We start forming our perceptions of reality based on what we increasingly watch on social platforms. Mm-hmm. So we know that social platforms are not going away, but so then what we need is to create a more balanced perspective of what is real.
I'm just going to play devil's advocate, Paul, for a little while. Sure. And hear me out. Is there a danger then that people will be performing all the time then because they want to create even more locomotives, for example, or more of these short videos? I mean, we all know people, you're out with them and they're taking selfies all the time and disconnected from the moment because they're so concerned about the image they're going to put on social media platforms. So right. Is there a danger that people will be performing more of the time, all of the time, performing all their lives?
So, I mean, thanks for that question. And I believe that we will perform as we have always been performing, you know, like it won't be more or less. Mm. I think I see these mediums as it's just a different distribution, a different way of distribution. And in fact, I believe that's why we need to show that you don't need to perform all the time. It's it's a culture we need to form in the community. It's not an easy one because it's not easy to want to watch stuff that's boring. It's not easy to not perform.
Yeah.
But it's so important for us to try to bring that balance, to try, because in our daily lives, before, you know, mobile devices became such a prevalent part of our lifestyle, you know, we did perform, but we also have these other boring moments that we usually maybe just hang out with family or friends and they see that part of our lives. But now that every part of almost every aspect of life is getting digitalized, is getting put on these platforms, this other part of our need to be accepted for who we are needs to also find a home.
Yeah, well said, well said. Well, you know, we're all social performers, but are some platforms allowing a view into these previously hidden private moments? Well said, Paul. I know you couch surfed with strangers for 2 years, and here you are, ink is drying on a multi-million dollar exit deal, should we say, for your startup. What is your advice to entrepreneurs who are trying to make it for themselves?
That's a question that I love the most, because the startup journey is a challenging one, but can be a very romantic one. And for me, it's been all everything put together. It's a romantic one, not just because of the outcome. It's very aligned with what we've been talking about. It's that we have to celebrate the journey, because the journey is the bulk of what it takes. And I think we've been saying it a little bit, but Lobotis started at Block 71, and, you know, getting great family support from family, friends, and putting ourselves in a very ideal work environment are all critical in increasing the odds for our continued success. And one anecdote I want to give is that, you know, in Block 71, we started out in the same room as Carousel, as 99.co, and there are great entrepreneurs in that room that I was learning from a lot. And they because sometimes entrepreneurship can be slightly lonely because it's nuanced challenges, right? Like and not more lonely than other jobs, but I just want to speak to entrepreneurship that there are unique sets of challenges. that, you know, if we can find other fellow founders that can empathize, that goes a long way. And finally, for me, most important, like my family and my wife has been very, very supportive. If not, I wouldn't have been able to even attempt this, if not for a father that allowed me to bounce from engineering into figuring out this crazy world of startups with, at that point, no end in sight, right? So I think that really all helps. And it's very important for, I believe, a founder to check as many of these boxes for themselves as possible.
Well, absolutely fascinating speaking with you, and congratulations on your success, Paul.
Really appreciate it, Michelle. Thanks for giving me this chance to share the story.
He's Paul Young, co-founder of Lomotive, joining me here on Influence. I'm Michelle Martin. Thank you all for listening.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.